Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo. So I call your name. Your name.
Hello and welcome to Signs of Life. I'm Tom Gould and I'm your host tonight with our guest, Forever Family Foundation certified medium and author, Gina Simone. We will be talking about... We will be talking about her new book, Whispers of Love, Spirit's Messages from Heartbreak to Hope. If you have a question or comment for our guest tonight, the number here is 1-888-627-6008. The format of tonight's show is that of an interview, and Gina will not be taking calls for readings. Tonight's show is sponsored by the Camlack Center, and they can be found on the web at camlack.com. That's K-A-M-L-A-K.com. Now, I'd like to give you a little perspective about this book that we'll be talking about tonight. Gina suffered a rather horrible loss a year ago in January, losing her son, and in that last 14 months, she has written this book. Now, I've read many books by doctors and psychologists about handling grief, but this is a unique perspective because Gina was right in the thick of grief when she was writing this book. And in fact, with 14 months only passed, I'm sure you're probably still in that. How are you holding up, Gina?
Hi, Tom. So glad to be here and to be able to be doing this interview. You're right. Our son's passing last January of 2019 threw us into a tailspin, as I'm sure many people go through after the loss of a dear loved one. And it really puts you in a place of questioning life, questioning what is the purpose of all of this, and especially if the individual suffered pain, or even if they didn't and this was a traumatic accident, we're always looking at what was all of this about and what are we supposed to do now with the rest of our life with now our loved one no longer by our side. So I share in everyone who's listening in tonight, I share in your grief and your despair and that feeling of hopelessness. I understand it.
Yeah, I actually was going through a painful period myself while I was reading this book, and I got to tell you, there is a lot of great, great tips and information on how to get yourself through these tough times. And also, I loved reading the book because it was kind of like sitting at the kitchen table and having a cup of coffee with you, because it's very, very conversational. An easy read to understand, and yet very, very important, I feel.
Well, you know, I wrote it intending it to be almost like a conversation from me. So I'm so happy that you got that feeling as you were reading the book, because when I'm doing readings with clients, I want to talk to them, not only validating the other side and their loved ones, but just also validating that they're never alone. And there are ways to get through this mud period. That's what I call it. It's almost like trudging through the mud, especially that first year. The first year is there's first of everything, and you don't know what this new normal life is going to be, or how to access it or just get through it. So I call it sort of like the mud period of life, where you still have to trudge through. You still have to go to work. You have to find out how to wake up every day and just make everyday life work. But I wanted to write it from the perspective of almost like you said, me sitting across the table and saying, let's have a cup of tea and a conversation about our loved one's death and what this is supposed to mean for us as the human that is left behind.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, since writing the book, how's your life changed?
Well, the book has not really changed my life. I've been noticing that a lot more clients are coming to me that have lost children. I'm also getting a big response on people who have purchased the book, and they're saying that, which you can purchase it on Amazon, but they've told me that, you know, it's brought them a deeper understanding of the process of passing, a deeper understanding of the lessons that we have here in our lives. And also the book does not only deal with grief and loss of a loved one, but it helps you, how do you get through the storms in your life that just become unbearable? You know, grief definitely is losing a loved one, but there's also grief in losing a relationship and grief in losing a job and perhaps losing a home, or even grief in a sibling or a family member not speaking to you. So there's all forms of grief. It's not just the loss of a loved one. And how do we get through those storms? And how do we turn to spirit on the other side to give us that faith, give us that push to continue moving forward? We all know that when we lose someone, we just don't know how we're going to do tomorrow. We just don't know how we're going to do it.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. And in fact, that's what I was going to say about the reading the book. It's not just for people who are grieving, because there is a lot of very helpful hints and tools that you can use to get through, as you say, whatever is painful in your life.
Yeah, and we're just, you know, the problem happens, and I understand this now even more so since our son Anthony's passing. We get frozen in the pain. We get frozen, like almost like you're just taking something and putting it in an ice cube. We get frozen in that pain, and we really can't imagine what our tomorrows are going to be like, or whether we'll even get through the tomorrows, because the pain is so solid within us. We are missing the human element. What we're doing, though, is we're disregarding the fact that spirit, our loved ones, are still on the other side trying to communicate with us. So there's hope. There's hope in being able to communicate with our loved ones. And there's also hope that's letting us know that in the midst of our grief, tomorrow can always be a better day.
Yeah, that's something that I noticed, that, you know, when you're in pain, you tend to, well, a lot of times you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't get back to sleep, and you lie there and you basically churn it over and over in your mind, oh, the what ifs and the, what could I have done differently, and, you know, and then you're still hurt. And what I got from your book was that you're using meditation and communication with your spirits and your loved ones and your spirit guides, that it can get you through these things, and just continuing along that path doesn't happen right away, but it does help.
Yeah, so you're right, Tom. We get stuck in the coulda, shoulda, wouldas. I know that our son passed of complications from leukemia, so we literally went through every last couple of moments in the last 2 months that he was not feeling well, and we were going, dissecting every single moment, and had we been able to get him to the doctor a little sooner, would he still be here, and had we stayed on top of him with his medication, would something have changed? And we go into those minute minutes where we're constantly thinking about, number one, the past, of what could have been done to alter or change the outcome. And then we are looking towards the future of how are we supposed to do this life without our loved ones. What we miss is the moment today, now. And when we stay in the moment, as you said, I mentioned in the book, we can start meditating to connect with our loved ones. So the fear of the past of what could we have done, and then we've got the fear of the future, how are we supposed to do this? And we're constantly missing that we still have this moment, we still have today. And you can have communication with your loved ones. It's just you have to be in the present.
Yes.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love Knows No Death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
If you're just tuning in, our guest tonight is Gina Simone, and we are talking about her new book, Whispers of Love. If you have a question or comment for our guest, the number here is 1-888-627-6008. This show is sponsored by the Camlack Center, and they can be found on the web at camlack.com. That's K-A-M-L-A-K.com. All right, Gina, welcome back.
Thank you.
Now, you are also, other than an author, now you're a psychic medium. And how did you come about finding out that you were a medium to begin with, and how did you develop your talents?
Great question. So as in the book, Whispers of Love, I go into my past growing up and seeing things and hearing things and feeling things. And unfortunately, my family did not understand that. My parents were very fearful of them thinking that perhaps me, their daughter, was mental. And I was not really allowed to talk about spirit growing up. And it was something that I had to hide, keep to myself. And it really wasn't until our second son, Matthew, fell in a pool, a built-in pool, around the age of 2.5, and I didn't know that he was outside. And I literally went out and saw him in the middle of the pool drowning and jumped in and pushed him to the side. And that's where the entire perimeter of the pool was surrounded by these white beings. And I heard in my head all of the, sort of like everyone speaking at the same time collectively, "We saved him. Now you can no longer ignore us." And
wow.
Back then, which was 1994, there was no, you know, there were no TV shows on TV about mediums, and it wasn't really something that was well known or heard of, and it still had more of a gypsy kind of feel. And I remember saying to my parents back then, your grandson was just saved. I have to go figure out what this gift is about. And they had assumed that the gift had just left. And I said, no, I've had this my entire life. I just didn't talk about it because it was something that you didn't want me to say. So I just literally started learning and going for workshops and meditation. And then one mentor and teacher led me to the next. And it was literally a 20-year process of me continuing to learn, and I'm always learning. I'm still learning. And then I started doing readings while I was working in the corporate environment. I was going to work, and I was in accounting, and then I went to sales. And at nighttime, I would see clients, and I kept the two worlds very separate from each other because I didn't want people knowing what it is that I did because it still had a stigma to it. And I started doing readings, and then I came across the Forever Family Foundation, and I applied for the certification, and thank God I passed because I was so looking forward to being able to work with this organization, proving that the soul exists after passing. And then after a couple of years of working full time and doing readings at night, I just said, you know what, there's a calling here. I could feel it. And now this time I said, I'm going to heed that call, because I didn't know how to follow it many, many years ago when my son had fallen in the pool with that accident. And this time I was getting a push of, you really need to get out there and do this full time. And I trusted. I did exactly what the book says. And the book says, when you are being pushed to do something and you can't understand intellectually why, you need to still follow through with that gut feeling, because the universe and spirit and your angels, they will all support you. You're always being supported, always. And now it's the best decision that I ever made, because I get to help people through their grief process. I'm not only validating information from spirit, but spirit is also helping that individual to get additional information on how to move forward. And that's the best part of the reading, is being able to give a sense of healing to that individual, so that they're walking away not feeling like, well, I'm missing my loved one. No, they're actually walking away thinking, wow, my loved one sees all the things that's going on in my life. That's wonderful. That means that they've never left me.
Yeah, it's tremendous. I have to say that I have seen you work a room several times, and you're right on the money. Really tremendous what's coming through. You know, and I sometimes will talk to a medium and say, well, you were really great. And they say, well, it's not me. It's spirit coming through. And I understand that you're the conduit, but some conduits are old black and white TVs, and some are HD big screens, and you're definitely coming through in HD.
Thank you. Well, you know what? I do want to explain to those who are listening how this actually works. Your loved ones no longer speak the human language on the other side. So when they're communicating with a medium, they are using the medium's thoughts, feelings, memories, names from the person's past, and they're showing us little clips, video clips, where they're doing pantomime, or almost like when you play that game Pictionary and you're trying to draw a picture and someone's trying to determine what that is. As a medium, we're always interpreting what our loved one is, what that loved one is trying to show us. And there are different mediums that have had different experiences in life, and they're going to interpret differently. Sort of like if I learned to speak Spanish, Tom, and you learned in the same class, even though we learn the same information, you may speak completely different than I do. So that's, each medium speaks their own language depending on their own experiences and circumstances. And yes, I will tell you that we are absolutely just a channel. This is not coming from us. We know that that clients are always thanking us and thank you for the information and the messages, but we're really just the pipe. That's what I say all the time. I'm just like this pipe, and it doesn't matter whether you're pouring water through it or orange juice. The information is going to come through the way that it's supposed to because we are just the channel. You're correct.
Yeah. I feel you're being a little modest because it certainly wasn't easy to follow this path, and there's quite a bit of practice that you need to be able to perfect what you do, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, Tom, look, we all grow up going to school and then getting a degree and then hopefully getting married and maybe having children and buying a house, right? We all have this sort of pattern that we're trying to follow. Now, yeah, all of a sudden, I'm being given a gift that doesn't make sense to anyone. As a matter of fact, when my own aunts found out about this book and what it is that I do, and they saw my Facebook pages through my cousins, they actually asked my mother, does she read palms?
Oh,
that
wow.
That was their interpretation of what I do, because they have very little knowledge of what this gift is about. And a lot of people are out there thinking, well, if you're a psychic medium, that means you already know what I'm going to do next or what I'm thinking. That is not what the gift is about at all. We're different from day one because we feel and sense things around us that other people are not noticing. So right away, at school, growing up, with friends, we all feel very, very different. Then we parlay it into an actual career that probably half of the population doesn't really understand, nor do they respect it. And that's
now,
hard.
That's hard. Have you found... Well, how long have you been doing, professionally, been doing readings?
Full time, I've been doing it about 10 years, but I've been doing readings for 20 years on a part-time basis, but 10 years full time. And I had to take a leap of faith because I was burning the candle at both ends, doing my corporate job, and then coming home at night and on weekends doing readings. I was literally burning the candle at both ends for a full 3 years until finally, like I said before, I got that push from spirit. Come on, we have to do this full time. And here I am coming from a Fortune 500 company with 401k health benefits, sick leave, and a very impressive, after 25-year career, salary. And here I am, I'm being asked to take a leap of faith and trust that I will still be able to pay my mortgage and still be able to pay my bills. So when we do this work as mediums, because a lot of people sometimes put us on a pedestal, and I'm thinking, first of all, we're just like everyone else, and instead of going to school to be a doctor, we just took some classes, honed our gift, and now are doing mediumship readings. There's really no difference. And it's also really hard to tell people when you're out at a cocktail party and someone says, oh, hi, nice to meet you. First question they ask, what do you do?
Yeah.
That is tough. Because you don't know if the person you're speaking to is one of the ones that understands and respects the profession, or whether it's someone who's going to roll their eyes and think that you're a kook.
Now, do you find it's getting better as far as that acceptance is going, or is there still quite an uphill battle?
There, I find that there's a little bit more of an acceptance. However, I still feel like the majority of people out there still think that a psychic medium means, oh, you should know what I had for lunch today. If you're any good, you should know what I ate.
Yeah.
We don't predict. That's the thing. People think that with psychic mediums, we're predicting you should know that my mother called me at 3 o'clock this afternoon. No, we don't know that information. What we do is we just channel the information that spirit gives us from the other side to validate that they're still here. And that's why there's this misconception about this work. And I'm so thankful for the mediums who have gone on TV and have really pushed this to its boundaries, because we can now, as certified mediums, we can do this job well and effectively, and we can reach a lot of people that maybe 20 years ago we would not have been able to, because we would still be considered like a gypsy on the street that reads palms.
Mm. And something you mentioned, said earlier, is that you see signs that other people don't notice. It's not that we, the general public, can't do this. It's just that we're probably looking for a burning bush or something, and that the signs from spirit are a lot more subtle than burning bushes,
I
would imagine.
And it's interesting that you said that. The reason that I called this book Whispers of Love is because the messages that spirit gives us, our loved ones, are those tiny whispers in the wind. They're not the walking along a shelf and a book just flies off right in front of us and lands at our feet. We would all love those kind of signs, but really the way that spirit communicates is through the whispers. It's through that feeling of, wow, I just feel my mother's energy around me, but there's nothing to touch or nothing to see. But why is it that I'm feeling like my mother is standing right there beside us? Or you may suddenly smell your father's cigarette smoke for 2 seconds because he used to smoke all the time. Those are little whispers of their love, letting you know, I haven't left you. But you're right. The average person is looking to either see a loved one, like appear in front of them like a hologram, or they're waiting for something to jump out and a book to open, and the page opens up right to their mother's name, Mary. I mean, wouldn't it be great if all signs were that deliberate? But they're not.
Yeah.
They're small little whispers. Or even the red cardinal that we always notice looking outside our window, our kitchen window, and there's a red cardinal looking back. Those are all signs that spirit is with us, whispering to us, I haven't left you.
That's beautiful, actually. Also, you also do. I know you've taken courses in developing your abilities, but do you teach that as well?
Right. So what I started to do several years ago, I had quite a bit of interest in people wanting to learn. You know, they recognize, look, I have some sort of gift, some sort of intuitive gift. I want to hone it, or I want to see where this gift is supposed to take me. So I offered intuitive development classes, not to make mediums out of these people, but to help them hone in on their intuitive skills, because we all have that innate intuitive ability to connect with the other side, to connect with heaven or our loved ones. We all have it. We're born with it. It's just some people are supposed to take it to the next level and do something with the gift, and other people just have the gift. We all have that intuitive feeling of you're thinking of someone and suddenly the phone rings and it's that individual. Or we may just think, oh, wow, I feel, why am I thinking of this person? And then you bump into them at Barnes & Noble. Those weird kind of incidences that we call coincidences, they're really not. That's our way of connecting with the universal energy. So I started teaching classes. And some of the people turned out to be mediums. And other people went into other realms of intuitive work. Whether it was healing or whether it was doing actual tarot cards or whatever type of work that they were called to. when you go to these classes, it's not to become a medium. It is to say, okay, how do I end up honing this skill so I can use it as a tool to communicate? That's what it is. It's a tool to communicate with our loved ones on the other side, with spirit, so we can get direction in our lives.
That's fantastic. I also wanted to point out in the book is that this book pulls no punches. You really tell it like it is, and you kind of lay your life bare for the reader.
And, yeah, you know, I'm sure since you know a lot of mediums and you've talked to them, we don't always come from pretty backgrounds. We many of us have survived some sort of experience in our lives that helped us become the compassionate people to do that compassionate work that we do. So how can you recognize someone's pain unless you have experienced a similar pain yourself? There are many, many times that a client is sitting in front of me and I actually see myself in them, and I can immediately recognize the signs, wow, this person really suffered growing up. And then there's a level of compassion and information that is given in the reading to let that person know spirit knows what you went through and you're getting better, and keep holding on to the hope. No, I don't pull any punches because I don't want to paint a pretty picture that this is an easy route to go. It isn't. Besides having to usually go through some sort of trauma or experience, now you're in a field where people don't really understand or respect it, and you still have to wake up every day and hold your head up high and say, okay, I went through all of that so that I could become this compassionate channel to be able to help other people heal. I recognize now that as a child, I had to go through that dysfunction and those experiences so that I could become that compassionate channel, that spirit uses me to get the message through to others.
Yes, and it's doing very well as far as, I just finished the book earlier this week, and it was just fantastic, and a lot of great earmarking of pages for different things that you can do to help yourself
I wanted to say, so I don't know if you know this, but the front picture of the book is the Tree of Life, and there's a shadow of a man standing underneath the tree, and that is exactly the image that my son Anthony gave me when I was meditating the day that he passed. I was getting ready to see clients. My husband was at the hospital, and as I'm doing my meditation and getting ready for my clients, all of a sudden, I always go to this Tree of Life, and my team, my angel team, is under there, and all of a sudden, I saw Anthony appear there all in white, and in the meditation, I said to him, what are you doing here? And he said, I'm done fighting. He was on life support at Stony Brook Hospital, and he said, I'm done fighting. He said, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to suffer. I like being here. And within 15 minutes, my husband called me to say, Anthony just went into cardiac arrest. Hurry. And I drove like a mad woman to get to Stony Brook. And by the time I arrived, he had already passed. He was showing me what he looked like in that moment as he was passing. He was letting me know, I'm okay. I look happy. I look healthy. I'm dressed in white, and I no longer want to suffer. And it was interesting because he was with his grandmother on the other side, who I had never met. My husband's mother, I had never met her. She was there to greet him. And there she was, happy, putting her arms around him. So I knew that he was in good hands. But a meditation like that, which is what I always say in the book, if I can meditate that and see my loved one on the other side, so can you. You can do that as well. You can put yourself in a quiet meditative state and literally close your eyes, take a couple of deep breaths, and envision yourself having a conversation with your loved one and see how happy and healthy they are. It's not your imagination that's creating that conversation. It's actually spirit on the other side who's conversing with you. So they're giving you that opportunity to continue having that love and that communication together. So when I did this book, there was no way I was not going to have Anthony on the cover, because I thought, he's the one that wanted me to write this book. I was done. I was literally done with mediumship. I was done being a medium. I said, no way can they take my son away like this. I've been trying to help other people heal. I felt punished. And that's how we feel when someone is taken from us. We feel, what did I do to deserve this? But Anthony kept coming to me in dreams and saying, there's a higher purpose to this. We have to write this book together. So I followed the prompts of spirit, that little gut feeling that I had, and he kept showing up, and I kept saying, okay, I don't know what I'm going to write about, but Anthony's going to help me write this book. So that's why he's on the cover of it, because that's him, and that's the way that he appeared the day that he was passing.
And the book, as you mentioned, is his passing was January of 2019. Here we are, March of 2020. I know other authors as well, and they do not write books that quickly. A lot of books take years. And
yeah, you know, I didn't know that. Sometimes it's better not to know things. I had no idea. We wrote the book in like about 6 months, and then it was done getting edited, and I self-published and got it printed by Christmas time. And I'll tell you, I didn't know how long it was supposed to take. So other people like yourself have said to me, you know, books aren't this quick to turn around and become material, you know, product in your hand. I didn't know that, but I trusted that if spirit is bringing me to it, they'll somehow make everything work the way that it's supposed to. And that's the really hard thing, especially now with everything that we're going through. There's so much fear and there's so much worry and concern, and in many cases, rightfully so, because we are in an unprecedented time of our lives. So many people now out of work. How are they going to pay their bills? There's a tremendous amount of fear, tremendous. For my family as well, my husband was actually laid off last week. So we've been scrambling to try and just make, you know, to try and make do. But I keep looking back at all the things that I've experienced in my life, and yes, they were traumatic in the moment, but I got through it. And that's what we need to remind ourselves when we're down on our knees, we don't know how we're going to do another day without our loved ones. We have to remind ourselves, I'm going to make it. This is okay. There's a higher reason why my loved one was taken from me the way that they were, or too early, or maybe they had a beautiful long life and you just miss your parents and wish they were here. There's a reason and purpose why everyone leaves when they do. And for us being left here back on earth without them, instead of putting your focus on the pain of no longer having them, go within yourselves and meditate and ask your loved one in those conversations, is there something that I should be doing in your name? Is there something that I can do that will bring you happiness here? And just allow them to speak to you. And sometimes they will come up with the brightest ideas. It doesn't have to be write a book. They could just simply say, yes, go volunteer at your local animal shelter, or go to schools and read books to children. I mean, it can be anything. Listen to spirit, because you can do a lot in their name and you can do a lot in their memory and bring other people a sense of hope and peace.
Yeah, that's a great point that I did want to touch on too, the reading of the book and how it helped me is that when you're in the midst of the pain, and in the book you talk about this, that you ask yourself not, you know, why me, but rather, what am I to learn from this? Why is it,
right.
Not why is this happening to me, but why is this being shown to me, or why am I going through this? There must be a point to it, or there's something I can gain from this. And it's very difficult when you're in the midst of the pain to think, oh, I'm going to gain from this? What? But you do.
You do. From the pain, there is always gaining something, and not gaining something from an ego standpoint, but gaining something about being used as a vessel, perhaps to help someone else. Whenever I see someone who's in a tremendous amount of pain, or they're very sad, or they're depressed, I always tell them, go out and do something special for someone else. Once you do that and you get the smile or the thank you or the appreciation, suddenly that fills the void within you, that bucket that's just so empty because you don't know how to fill it and all you have is pain. Someone else smiling at you or saying thank you or just seeing how your presence is making them smile fills that bucket up, so that you don't feel as much of the void. Doesn't mean that it takes away the pain of losing your loved one, but when we're in that desperate place, the best way to make ourselves feel better and also the best way to honor our loved one is to go do something for someone else. You know, we have all of these the random acts of kindness, right? We've all heard of it, where you drive up, up to a drive-thru and then you pay for the car behind you, right? It gives you such a sense of, wow, I'm actually able to do something for someone else who may not be able to do it on their own. Give someone a phone call that you know is not in a good place. Get yourself out of your own head and connect with other people who may be suffering a lot more than you are in that moment. And by giving them a sense of peace, you actually receive the peace back yourself. But I wanted to touch on what you brought up about the messages and the lessons. Everything that happens to us, Spirit has shown this in readings time and time again, everything that happens to us is for the sole purpose of our soul learning on this human plane. We're here, it's almost like human school, and our souls are here to learn. And everything that happens to us is an opportunity for us to look at what is the lesson behind this. And a lot of people get caught up in what my sister said and how my brother betrayed me. And Spirit in readings will always say, I know what's going on with your sister and your brother. Please make peace now.
Yeah.
So many of them validate that. Do not allow this opportunity on earth to go wasted. Make that peace with your loved ones, because once you're crossed over on the other side, the lesson was here on earth. You will not have learned the lesson. So there's an opportunity for us to learn in every situation. But you're right. It's really hard in the midst of the pain to say, okay, what am I supposed to learn in this moment? Well, you can't really get out of your head, so you can't learn what the lesson is in that moment. You know what? Let me take this opportunity to go do something nice for someone else. Let me go across the street to the older woman who lives there and see if she needs anything. Or let me go to my neighbor next door that I know that just had surgery, and maybe I can help them out or go to the store for them. Do something for someone else. So in the midst of your pain, you're saying, I'm putting my pain aside and I am going to honor my loved one by doing something kind for someone else. If we had a world where everyone was doing kind acts for each other, could you imagine the world we live in?
Yeah, it would be awfully nice.
It would be incredible. But yet we get so tied up in our own problems. You know, there's a family that I know that is financially not doing well. And I was at the store the other day and I thought, you know what? This is an opportunity for me to pick up some groceries, which we all know are becoming more depleted on the shelves day by day. It's an opportunity for me to pick up these groceries and just drop them off on their front stoop. They don't even need to know who it's from. Just leave it on their front stoop. They don't need to know. This way, I know that I did something for a family that I know is suffering. Those are the kind of things that we need to do to make that will actually make our own pain much more bearable.
I you know, I got so wrapped up in talking with you that I missed our break earlier. I think we'll go to a break now and then come back and finish up with you.
Hey.
And maybe I should have.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.kamlak.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's Hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love knows no death. A groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perissetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
For those who are just tuning in, our guest tonight is Gina Simone, and we're talking about her new book, Whispers of Love. This show is sponsored by the Kamlak Center, and they can be found on the web at kamlak.com. That's K-A-M-L-A-K.com. Gina, in the break we were talking about the cover of the book, which is a person standing under a tree, and you mentioned that that was what Anthony showed you on the day that he passed. And the important thing that I wanted to bring up is that he basically didn't want to come back, that he said he was done with the pain and the suffering on this plane, and quite frankly, it's much nicer over there than it is here. And I've seen this many, many times with people I've spoken to who have near-death experiences, that they're actually pretty angry when they're brought back to life, because it's just a beautiful place to be and an experience. And I have also felt that that single thing, when people grasp that about their loved ones that are passed, it really, really helps in the grieving process. Have you found that?
You know,
well?
Yeah. You know, we were talking about the Forever Family Grief Retreat that they have every July, and we were discussing how on Friday people are arriving very down and gloomy, and that by the time Sunday comes and we do the closing ceremony, everyone is in this beautiful, lighthearted place. Not only did they receive readings and witness readings the entire weekend, they're also participating in seminar classes with the mediums, and they're starting to understand that there is a process to passing and that the soul is returning back to where it came from. And really, when we go for a reading, or to connect with a medium, we really basically just want to know, are they okay? Are they still suffering? You know, how are they? And you're right, in that moment when Anthony was passing and he didn't want to be intubated anymore. He didn't want to be kept alive, sedated and attached to a machine. He was tired of suffering. And I knew this, seeing him every single day. I knew that his soul was tired of the dilemma and the struggle, but I wasn't ready to lose him. So the human part of me kept whispering to him, Anthony, hold on, please don't go, fight, fight. The soul part said, I'm done. I'm done with this life. I'm done with this lesson. And when spirit transfers over to the other side, just as with near-death experiences, spirit also on the other side will validate that the beauty and the peace that is around them all the time is something that is indescribable in human words. Even the word love, beauty, magnificence, pales in comparison to what the actual feeling is that they have surrounding them. So there is a oneness, a feeling of being one with everything that's there on the other side. Imagine feeling a feeling of being one with the blades of grass that are beneath your feet, or imagine feeling a feeling of oneness with the birds that are flying over you. Everything is connected to everyone. And the spirit on the other side understands that as humans, we are left with the human emotion of grieving and sadness. And they will often show sadness for their loved one that's still here, and they would just want to say, please, just I wish I could eliminate that sadness from your heart. But spirit on the other side loves the experience, and they don't want to come back. You know, being in this dense body, this human body that we all operate in, is not easy. It's not easy for the soul. The soul wants to be free. It wants to not be bound, but it's in this body, and it's the soul is always trying to connect to something greater than ourselves. That's why there's many of us that are thinking, what is my life purpose here? And what have I been put on this earth to do? But spirit on the other side does not want to come back. If given the option, that little boy that crossed over too young does not want to come back here. They want to stay on the other side. Even though their family is here, they want to stay on the other side because there is this tremendous feeling of love and oneness. And just imagine, and the words pale in comparison, but just imagine being an angel and being able to be everywhere all at one time, and there's nothing but goodness on the other side. So the human emotions that we have here of sadness and guilt and regret, on the other side, the only thing that exists is love, but on a much higher level than we could ever experience here on earth. Who would want to come back from that? Who would want to choose, oh yeah, I'd much rather be on this earth suffering or having a more difficult existence than being on the other side and being free, no longer suffering, because they no longer have the body that suffers. So spirit wants to stay on the other side. They don't want to be here.
Yeah, that's great. And tremendous. It's a lot to take in. You give a lot of great information, and I completely forgot the point. Anything else you'd like to say? I guess we're getting close to, the wrapping up time. Any last thought that you'd like to impart?
Yeah, I need everyone to understand that when we've lost a loved one, our lives, there becomes a new normal. It's a new process of living through each day and the celebrating the birthdays and the holidays. You have to give yourself time to grieve. This is not something that you can snap your fingers and within a couple of months get through. This is a process. It takes a long time to figure out how to live this life now without your loved one. So give yourself time. Treat yourself well. Love yourself. And know that whatever you need, please reach out to other people and talk about your sadness. Don't hold it within. A lot of people, when we lose loved ones and everyone else moves on with their life, we think, well, I can't turn to someone else and tell them how sad I am because I've said it 100 times. Who cares? Say it 200 times. You have to turn to people to explain to them and let it out. Let your pain out and don't feel that you're alone.
Oh, beautiful. Well, thank you very much. We've been talking with Gina Simone. I want you to buy her book, Whispers of Love, Spirit's Messages from Heartbreak to Hope. It's an excellent book. I couldn't recommend it high enough. And I also need to mention that you should head to the Forever Family Foundation website for our events that are coming up, the grief retreat this summer in Chester, Connecticut. Is always a beautiful experience, as Gina spoke about earlier. And that we have our Earth Day raffle where you can buy a raffle ticket and win a chance for readings from some of our certified mediums. So head over there. And with that, we would like to send out a global peace prayer. Now let us, as one consciousness, give our energy of loving thought by praying like this. To love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. Thank you, everybody. We will end with the saying, our loved ones are only a heartbeat away, and science is going to prove it. Good night, everyone.